Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The legendary broadcaster Larry King is dead. A statement posted to King's Twitter feed says he died today at a hospital in Los Angeles. He was 87. A cause was not given, but he had reportedly been hospitalized with COVID-19. King conducted thousands of interviews over a career spanning more than 60 years, but he famously did not do a lot of prep work.
The less I know, the better. Now, that sounds strange to people. Like, if you wrote a book, I wouldn't read the book before I interviewed you because I would then know too much about the book. And I'm in the same boat as the audience. They haven't read the book.
King was best known for his 25 years on CNN. He was hired away from a popular overnight radio talk show. The Biden administration has announced a series of steps it's planning to take to combat domestic extremist groups. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports the White House is ordering the U.S. intelligence community to launch an investigation following the violent attack on the U.S. Capitol building.
The administration says it will compile a comprehensive threat assessment coordinated with the FBI and Department of Homeland Security on domestic violent extremism. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the administration will develop policies and strategies that are based on facts and objective analysis.
The January 6th assault on the Capitol and the tragic deaths and destruction that occurred underscored what we have long known. The rise of domestic violent extremism is a serious and growing national security threat.
Federal authorities continue to monitor threats of potential violence from extremist groups after thousands of pro-Trump rioters breached the Capitol earlier this month. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump facing a Senate impeachment trial over the Capitol riots. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it will begin the week of February 8th. At the same time, coronavirus cases are thought to be peaking. Efforts are ramping up to get students back into the classroom. NPR's Amy Held reports that roughly half of U.S. students have been enrolled in districts only offering remote learning, with others learning virtually part-time in hybrid models.
President Biden says he wants most schools reopened by April. To that end, he's issued several executive actions, including for more personal protective equipment and testing for schools and vaccines for teachers. But with doses still in short supply, Oregon Governor Kate Brown is facing a backlash for prioritizing 100,000 of the state's school workers ahead of the elderly.
If we were to vaccinate every Oregon senior first, the unfortunate and harsh reality is that many of our educators would not get vaccinated this school year.
Brown plans to get most of Oregon's kids back in school by next month, asking the elderly and people with pre-existing conditions to wait a few more weeks to get vaccinated. Amy Held, NPR News.
And this is NPR News. Overwhelmingly positive is how one source in Ottawa described a telephone call between President Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Dan Karpinchuk reports that despite differences over Biden's cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline project, the two leaders say they will work together.
Trudeau again expressed disappointment over Keystone, and sources say Biden acknowledged the difficulties his decision has caused. But Trudeau urged people to look beyond that, adding that the two countries have a great potential partnership in the fight against climate change and in spurring economic growth. They talked for about half an hour in what was Biden's first telephone call to a foreign leader. They also agreed to meet next month.
The Labor Department says the share of American workers who belong to a union increased last year. That was NPR's Scott Horsley reports. A unionization rate is still only about half of what it was in the early 1980s.
The number of union members working in America actually fell last year, but because many more non-union workers were laid off, the share of employees who belong to a union inched up for the first time in a dozen years. Back in 1983, when the Labor Department started keeping track, the percentage of unionized workers was almost twice as high. The AFL-CIO points to survey data showing many more workers would like to belong to a union, and the group hopes the new Biden administration will make union organizing easier. The Labor Department says the average union member earns almost 20% more than the average worker who doesn't belong to a union, though that figure doesn't account for occupational or educational differences. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.